It's the Stream Leader Report live panel. Creators talking to creators. Raw, real, and unscripted. And sometimes they say the quiet part out loud. Here are your hosts, Claudia Santiago, Rebecca Gunter, Rob Greenlee, and Ross Brand.
Claudia Santiago, Rebecca Gunter, and Rob Greenlee. It's the 100 TV live panel here on the Stream Leader Report. Welcome, everybody. We've got four more hot topics to cover today, and we're going to start it off talking about a new camera for 360-degree views. You can use it when you're live streaming for video creation and more. We'll also talk about Canada's battle with Facebook heating up, covers a couple of different issues going on related to news and paying for it by tech companies regarding new Canadian law, plus Canada's refusal to advertise with Facebook and Instagram. Exciting stuff going on in the social media world. Also, Wix has AI-generated websites entirely from prompts, no coding, no drag and drop, nothing. It even includes some advanced features. We'll get into that. And the perfect marketing fake campaign, the big fake out. We'll talk about that as well. I'm Ross Brand from the Stream Leader Report. Claudia Santiago's from Viva La Stage. Rebecca Gunter is from Business in the Raw. And Rob Greenlee is from Trust Factor. Let's get right to it, Rob. You've got that new camera. Tell us about the Insta360.
Well, it's kind of a cool cutting-edge technology. I know that there's been a lot of technological development over the last few years around 360-degree cameras, but what's really cool about the Insta360 X3 is that it's actually been kind of commercialized. It's available for a reasonable price. I mean, a lot of the 360 cameras in the past were like multi-$1,000 type of technologies, and they were rather large and kind of like a softball size and with multiple cameras all the way around it. But this one has two cameras. It's got one on the back and one in the front, as you can see in the image up here. And each of the cameras on each side basically gives a 180-degree view of whatever it's looking at. And so you can turn on or off each of those cameras. So if you wanted to do just, a normal straightforward shot, you can do that as well. But it does up to 8K video, and it does have the ability to, supposedly, this is what it's supposed to do, is to potentially be a webcam too. And so it does have some ability, and I do have some video that I could play and then some screenshots of what the images look like that come out of this camera actually right now, if we wanted to do that. I could actually share the image
that
here.
That would be great. Feel free to bring up any share that you want to bring up. Talk a little bit about, while you're doing that, if you can, talk a little bit about how you're planning to use it, what you think the best use cases are, at least for you as a creator.
Yeah, I think that the best use case, and I'm still kind of experimenting with it. I mean, I'm actually doing a channel on YouTube called Behind the Wheel. It's basically a kind of a car topic type of channel that I started actually that channel about 16 years ago. But what I'm doing is I'm mounting this on the ceiling of my Model 3 Tesla, and it's able to create a 360-degree view while I'm actually talking about the electric car that I'm driving and how it works and the functionality of it, things like that. So it can be used in a lot of different use cases. You can also get a long extension pole, like a huge long selfie stick that will put it up like 10 feet up in the air. And it actually looks a lot like a drone video when you're walking with it.
Did we lose Rob's audio?
Yeah, we did.
Rob, we lost your audio. I'm not sure if something happened.
The beauty of live.
Yeah.
The beauty of live.
So have Claudia or Rebecca, have either of you ever used a 360 camera?
Ross, I barely use this webcam.
No,
it looks really cool, though.
Yeah, no, I've never used the 360 camera. One of the cool things about that camera is you can actually live stream right from the camera, pairing it with your phone. So you don't need a computer, or you don't have to use the phone's awesome camera. Rob, is your audio back? No, we're not hearing Rob. All right.
I know there's like a GoPro series too that, you know, you can mount, like you can have different mounts. You can put one up here if you're skiing or whatever. But I have not tried. I mean, we have GoPros, but not the 360. But this is very interesting. I love the fact that you can live stream from it.
Yeah, it has the kind of the action cam ability, right? Like you could mount it on a helmet, I believe, or you could mount it on the front of a bike or something like that. And of course, with the selfie stick option, you can get big views, like well above the crowd and not out to the scene, and you know, and you get both sides awesome and all the way around. I don't even know how it's able from that lens to get, you know, a 180 from each side, but it does.
It's like a fisheye lens, or I don't know if that's the right word.
Yeah. And from what I understand, it's like, you know, really, really high quality. Rob was saying like 8K, and then I think so. What you can do is you could like do a podcast or something where you want to have a few different shots in like a video podcast, and you could just pick any of the shots and crop it, and you're still in extremely high quality if it's at 8K.
That's amazing. So, I wonder what the price tag is on this thing.
It's I think it's about 420, 430, something like that. It's not ridiculous when you consider like what mirrorless cameras cost and things like that.
Yeah,
I'm going to add this to the stream. I think Rob would need to play this on his end. Rob, are you able to play?
So with any of the buttons on the front side of the camera, the default view is a split screen with a top-bottom video using the front and back lenses. So actually what you can see now in FaceTime is coming from this one single camera, and that's what the other participant will see during the call. It's very useful if you and one of your partners are in the same location and you can join sharing the same camera and profile during the call. But of course, depending on the situation, you can select a single lens and use X3 as a regular webcam, maybe with a little bit wider field of view than usual. And as I mentioned in the beginning, X3 will work with any app like Zoom, Teams, FaceTime, and even with Messenger. Just go to the video source settings and select X3, and then select the lens or lenses you wanna use. But how does this new feature affect the live streaming option? Well, actually, it brings a brand new live.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
So can you guys hear me now?
Yeah,
we can hear you.
Welcome back, Rob.
Yeah, I think what happened was when I launched the being able to do a screen share of a photograph, it actually locked up my audio. So, and then when I launched that other screen share, which was the video, it actually brought me back. So
that's strange. You would think that the video might shut down your mic, but
well, I think it did temporarily. But when I closed it, it reopened the mic again. So
Rob, there's no place like home.
Right. So well, this is it here.
I for one, just find it refreshing that you had an audio like snafu, because you're such a consummate professional, man. But to see you actually have a moment and have to recover, it's like, you're human after all. Like, we all make mistakes.
I think it's a little bit of a bug I think it's a little bit of a bug in StreamYard. That because I've had this happen before when I tried to do something, it just locks out the audio. I think it's trying to say, you know, you can't really talk over this, and it just doesn't come back. So
the next time I have a StreamYard snafu, I'm gonna be like, if it can happen to Rob.
Right. There you go.
Rob, you tried the 360 camera in StreamYard?
No, I haven't yet. So that's actually what I was trying to get set up for today, but I couldn't get it configured in time to do it. But it does play in your mobile app, so it's probably hard to see. But
that's
me there. So and if I can actually just scroll around in here, 360 degrees, so you can see my whole studio, and I'm like right.
Wow.
If I can scroll over a little bit more, I'm right there. So
I do not know if I want everyone to see my whole studio. I have this pristine corner and just like, right, RB?
Anything that's not in the camera frame right now is not intended for public consumption.
Exactly.
Now, Rob, too, I was saying, like, I know we're used to kind of the GoPro series type thing. Also, they have like a 360, but the thing with that series is the audio is not the coolest. It's so I don't know. How's the audio on this one?
Well, that's one thing that I did, which was a little different. If you can see these things off to the side here. That's actually a wireless microphone setup. I got a kit from DJI.
Okay.
That's basically a, here, let me put it down and I can show you. They're little clip-on mics like this.
Like little lav mics?
Yeah, exactly. There's two of them in the kit and they actually will transmit to this transmitter that's right attached to the camera, right here. This is it's a receiver is what it is. And then it funnels it right into the camera. So you get that really high quality audio, but it does have, I believe it has four or five microphones actually around the 360 degree of the camera itself.
Oh, wow.
So, so it will pick up decent audio and it's designed to be waterproof and also windproof too. So if you're using this outside or under the water or anything like that, it'll still pick up some sound. So
when you plug in the mic, then it mutes all the built-in mics, right?
Right. And it just... Right. Exactly. So, you know, these actually each one of these also has a built-in capability to record up to 1 gigabyte of audio. So there's a little button on the side that you can push and it'll actually record right into these. So you don't even have to have this particular receiver to actually record audio. So you can actually just clip this on and record right there.
And then if you were to use it as a webcam, you could just send your audio separately from your mic right into your computer, right?
Yeah, you could, or you could use it through the same system. Because it does just plug right into the USB port and it should funnel all the audio. So I would just clip on one of these wireless mics and it should do it.
So it connects to your computer with just a regular USB connection. And
correct.
You can use it as a webcam.
Yep.
Does it have HDMI as well? Or
actually it uses that new connector, that USB-C.
Okay.
Connector, which is, you know, a higher speed. I think it's like USB version 3 or something like that. So it's pretty high speed, and you do want to have that kind of a connection with this camera, ideally, if you want to do up to 8K.
Wow. On the
side. So that's just kind of where this is going. I think what we're going to see, I mean, granted, for some people, they're not going to want to have a 360 degree view, but there are certain situations, especially when you're outside or you're, and what this does is it basically captures everything. And then in post-production, or actually in the camera itself, you can go in and point to the view that you want, and you can zoom in and out of it and create your own video that has almost like a multi-camera shoot is what it kind of like.
So
if you want to swing it around and show you, and then if you want to swing it around and show what's in front of you, you can do that, or you can do it on the side or whatever. And it's got software in it that will actually, if you're using a big long selfie stick like this, it'll actually block out this pole that's going up.
Would you be doing that while live or only like,
well, you could do it live
playback.
Yeah. But it also has a, you know, it has a big memory card in it too, so you can record directly into the camera itself. So, yeah.
Very cool.
Huh. This is the ultimate fly on the wall perspective.
It's very yes. cool. And I have to mention, we have to mention that Beauty Bubble throws it out there. We are close to 200 subscribers. So if you haven't subscribed yet, you can do that. And perhaps you'll be numbered 200. Thank you, Beauty Bubble, for pointing that out. We're heading towards a milestone. But Rob, I think it's super cool. Like, what would be your first project, or what do you think you're going to use it for?
Actually, my first project is doing that Behind the Wheel series in the car. Right. And I've actually recorded a couple of episodes, kind of test episodes already, and I'm trying to figure out the best way to use it. So I basically have a mount. As you can see here, it's basically a suction cup mount, and it actually will mount to my glass ceiling of my car. So, but it will sit like this, and it will capture 360-degree view of inside of my vehicle while I'm driving it. So I don't have to be holding a camera or anything like that. So, and then I have that little microphone attached to my collar. And so I can do whatever. And I can also bring it outside of the car and record stuff outside of the car too, or I can stick the selfie stick out the window of the car up like 7 feet up in the air, and it'll capture the view of the vehicle while it's driving down the road. So, and then you can do pointed shots, or you could mount this to the trunk of the vehicle or the hood of the vehicle, and you could actually make a video of you're driving down the street pointed at the windshield, and then right. be able to swing it around and point straight ahead. So there's lots
you're taking Google Maps into your own hands.
So there's a lot of fun things that you can do with it, and that's the opportunity. And I'm hoping that it's a way to kind of stand out on YouTube as kind of a unique kind of video experience. So that's what I'm hopeful for. So
very cool.
Yeah.
So, I guess, you know, I'm curious, do you think that this is going to be like a big trend among live streamers and content creators? Do you think we're this specific camera is like a game changer where more people are going to adopt 360 because it's very high quality and it's much more affordable than even most good mirrorless cameras?
Yeah, I mean you kind of have to get used to the complexity of it, because it is fairly complex to, you know, I'm still learning how to use it, and especially in post-production. Now, granted, it does have the ability right in the camera itself to do that pointing to different views and then export that video. So you could fully produce it. Plus, it does come with a companion production software too, that you can export the videos into and do a lot of the same things. So you can make it more vivid. You can make it sharper. You can have different viewpoints and stuff like that, and export the video to be able to publish it. And it automatically has this kind of like vertical view capability too. So getting a vertical shot out of it for use in social media, TikTok, and those kind of things is also very possible in this camera too. So,
yeah. Well, I look forward to seeing your videos with it and perhaps yeah. trying it out sometime in the not too distant future. Let's go to Claudia. She's our Canadian on the panel, of course, and so representing Canada in the fight versus Meta. What is going on between Canada and our friends at Facebook and Instagram?
Oh my! You know, when I ran across this, I didn't know about it. Apparently it started, all this started in June, so we're in July here. And I saw it as that came up on my feed. Of course, I'm in Canada, and right away I'm thinking, okay, is this spam? And I'm thinking, well, it's a sponsored ad. So, and it looks like it's officially coming from Facebook. And sure enough, I did some Google searches right away. and found that it's a real thing. So, I mean, I've got my two cents on it. I don't know very much about it. I do know Australia went through something like this time ago, and then things kind of changed up. But from what my understanding is, the Canada thing is a whole different animal. What they're doing is the Canadian news broadcasting agencies are wanting to collect dollars from any social media platform that distributes their content. Now, as I dug out a little bit deeper, it does go a bit deeper. There's a lot of other stuff associated that has to do with Rogers and Bell, which is a couple really big companies out here as well that are responsible for media. And, oh, I hear some music.
That's got you grooving now. Right.
That was for you.
I was like, woo, okay, let's go. Anyways, so what happened was there's a bill called C-18 that the Canadian government put out, and that's that they want to charge dollars. And Facebook said, no way, not on our agenda. And and then the Canadian government fought back and said, well, if you're not going to let our news on your platform, then we're going to stop advertising dollars to you. So it's kind of interesting because Canada, this bill that they've put out, their hope is that other countries will follow suit. So that's about the gist or the little bit that I know. I don't know. I want to get your feedback, you guys. What would you do if this happened? You saw this in the United States, scrolling on your timeline.
Well, I think from a trust factor perspective, I think it could be seen as a little bit of a sketchy move on the part of the Canadian government. It does make you wonder what the motivation of doing this is. Because I do know that they were going to start charging the social platforms for access to news. Mm-hmm. You know, which is probably a companion to this project either, but it does appear to be an effort to undermine the economics around the social media platforms, around being able to get access to information and also financial support. So they're basically going after them from two perspectives. And it does kind of point, well, what's the bigger agenda here? What's the reason that they're doing this? Is it because they don't want the information to flow through those channels to get to the Canadian people? And they want to be able to control those channels. And so there may be less kind of discussion or controversy or other shared opinions on things that don't go through those social channels. So anyway, it's a little concerning to me to think about.
From that ad or that link that I had sent, Ross, can you read a little paragraph here? Google in a statement Thursday said it amounts to a quote unquote link tax, while Meta insisted Canadian news organizations already benefiting from free marketing worth more than $230 million in the form of clicks from links visible on Facebook feeds. Paul Deegan, president and CEO of News Media Canada, an advocacy association representing news outlets, acknowledges Google and Facebook have been good partners and their platforms drive traffic to news websites. Now here's the kicker. We just want to be able to negotiate fairly on a commercial basis for the value of our content, Deegan said in an interview with CBC News Network. So I can see the one side where it's a free platform and they're benefiting from getting traffic to their sites. On the other hand, I also know that like in radio, the CRTC controls also the amount of Canadian content that is played on Canadian radio. And that's so that Canadians and the writers and authors and producers and all that that are Canadian are actually getting dollars in Canada, right? So I understand on the entertainment end, the music end, that. So I'm wondering if this is kind of almost they're following suit, because Canadian news media is, from what I've heard, is really struggling. By the way, I'm wearing red and white.
Very patriotic. You know, I think there's a couple things going on here. One, I think this works against how the internet works in general. Like, if you're publishing your articles online and there's a link, it's generally understood that anybody with a website can share that link to a story. I mean, I know Meta is massive, but I don't know that the rules really change. I mean, there's things you can do. You can not have a digital edition of your news organization, whether it's an electronic news organization, you know, TV, radio, cable, or it's print. You don't have to have a digital version on the internet. Or you could put your content behind a paywall. So if people go to a link that's shared on Facebook with a headline and an image, they click through, they can only read the first paragraph or so, and then either they have to subscribe or they can't get that. So that would be a way that would be more congruent with how the internet works in general. I'm not sure. I mean, news is also a public service. So if you're putting stuff out there for free on your website, I know it's a business and it's become more so over the years, but it's also, there's a sense that it's part of it as a public service. So you're sort of denying Canadians who use Facebook as a primary source of what's going on, and if there's an emergency or something they need to know, you're sort of denying them that ability to access it where they're at. And I don't know. I don't have a problem with a company or an organization or a country standing up to Facebook, but I'm not sure I understand how this makes sense for the Canadian media, the Canadian people, unless it's about controlling the flow of information, controlling comments, controlling everything about it, and that, you know, really doesn't go along with the spirit of a society like Canada.
It's surprising for Canada, honestly. Canada is usually quiet about stuff, and it's like, whoa, now they're fighting back and saying they're pulling their advertising dollars, like, wah.
Which is a drop in the bucket, to be honest. I mean, it's 10 million, 11 million Canadian for a company that, you know, yeah, gets $120 billion or something annually in revenue.
Rebecca, what's your take?
This is one of those things I want to see play out in the arena, because it will inform just kind of our attitudes on a global landscape. So I'm just kind of like got my fingers ready for the Zuck Musk celebrity death match and what's happening on the Canadian border. I think that, the pound of flesh is going to come from somewhere, and we're right to be, I think it's a little sus that you won't be able to. I love Ross's point of meeting people where they are. I mean, there was certainly a lot of time in my life where I was like, well, I didn't see that on Facebook, without going to like the Baltimore Sun or something. Well, I didn't see that on Facebook. That couldn't have possibly happened. I think we all know now that's not, you know, your number one spot, but meeting people where they are and how many people are actually getting their news from social media, like what does it really hurt? Yeah. So good topic, well, Claudia. Hot topic.
Michael Kinney is not only a Canadian, but he's a experienced veteran media professional. And he says it's about money. Canadian media has been hit hard by online advertising, declining revenues, already a small market. an extension of the Canadian tradition for subsidizing our media industry. And he goes on to say that the Canadian government forced Netflix to invest in Canadian production.
Wow.
I hope that means more Letterkenny. That's all I have to say.
You know, Bruce mentioned something to me, and Bruce is a lot like Rob. He's always like searching info. and he said to me that, and I need to look this up more and dig into it more, but China, I think is it China, has their own version of Facebook kind of thing.
Yeah, and their own version of TikTok.
It's right? Called, I think it's called WeChat. What's called.
There we go. Yeah, yeah. Right. So it kind of started making my wheel spin a little bit as to possible agenda and or something we might see down the road where countries are going to start doing their own thing if something as big as Meta and starts controlling everything. Now, I know that the reason Zuck did what he did was because Canadian government passed the bill. It wasn't like right. Initially, to be honest, initially I was like, what? What's he doing to us? Then when I researched it, I went, oh my God, no, it's like the Canadian government that decided this. So be interesting, like what you're saying, Rebecca, how this will play out. And let's watch. Here we go for a ride.
Yeah, I mean, I think the tough thing about other countries starting their own version of Facebook is China banned Facebook, and now they've got, you know, a massive population to support another network who have no choice, essentially. With Facebook in all these other countries, unless they were to ban it, I don't think people are going to stop using Facebook if they like using it. Michael says, kind of ridiculous, though. Links can just go to a synopsis and a paywall. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Put it behind a paywall and force people to subscribe in order to read the article or pay per article or what have you. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to our next issue, and that is the website builder Wix has a new tool that enables you to use AI prompts and build your entire website without actually doing any drag and drop or coding or anything else. You give it the text prompts and it creates the site for you. It uses a technology that comes from ChatGPT. And I think what's interesting about this is it's not only creating a basic site with a home page and, you know, about page and a few other pages, but it actually can add some more sophisticated segments of a website, including things like e-commerce. So I'm almost curious to try it for try it's sake. I mean, I'm deep in the WordPress universe or whatever. I'm not planning on moving out, but boy, it might be fun to give that a shot and just see what happens. I imagine Canva, where you can design, you know, now websites, you can use AI and see what you come up with there as well. Would anybody try that? Would anybody try designing a website from AI as a starter and see what you get? And then, you know, you can always then.
Oh, Ross froze. What happened, Ross?
It's an epidemic. First, Rob's audio.
He's working on the AI website. He is AI. How do we know that's really Ross?
Oh yeah, it might not be.
You've scanned your likeness for one day's pay to be ever used by 100 TV in perpetuity.
Yeah.
I would use this just to try it out, particularly from a copywriting perspective. I also would like be into the idea of some sort of like A/B testing challenge where it was like me versus Wix. And let's see like whether a real copywriter has more like converting leads on even a fake business than Wix does. Like, I kind of want to take the Pepsi challenge with it and see, you know, go neck and neck with AI and see what resonates in terms of conversion. I'm ready for the challenge.
Nice. It'll be a fun show.
That would
we all like, here's a half an hour or 20 minutes or 15 minutes, whatever. Like, maybe it's 5 minutes. I don't know how long it takes to create the prompts, but you know, each of us creates the prompts, and then we see what our websites are and show them.
Oh my afterwards. God, the Stream Leader Report live panel show.
There we go.
Yeah, totally. I'm getting ready really to fun. Grab my AI domain.
Are you?
I am. And give it a whirl. But yeah, I would like to try it. I think trying it is not for me. The, I don't know, maybe I'm being a stick in the mud, but for me, it's not so much me trying it as my wheels are spinning as to the amount of fraud and stuff with this kind of thing. And, you know, how many copies of our websites are going to be starting being made with people with wrong intent. It's a security factor for me. When I read this kind of stuff, I go, oh geez, here we go.
Is it a trust factor?
It is a trust
factor. It is well, that, and also, where are the graphics and the images coming from? Because most of the websites today are pretty heavy on the imaging standpoint, so I'm just curious how those are created, because I know there are some AI engines like DALL-E that are doing a decent job with the illustration side of artwork, but I haven't seen any that do a good job with text overlay on top of an illustration or something like that. So the artwork could be generated dynamically, but also, you know, if you've got a company and you want to put up your particular logo or your brand or something like that, you're probably still going to have to upload it.
Yeah.
Right. I imagine it uses a lot of stock photos, probably.
Yeah. Exactly.
Has right. a subscription to a stock photo service.
Yeah. Or multiple
know, like, ones. Like PowerPoint.
Right. Mm-hmm. Michael says it might take you longer to find the right prompts versus just drag and dropping.
Right.
Well, except for once you figured it out the first time, it would work for at least 6 months.
Well, what's interesting is I think this is the new thing, right? It's like we go... Who's going to be the most effective web designer in the future, right? Is it going to be the person who knows how to quickly put together a great website using coding, a mix of coding and page builders? Or is it going to be the person who knows how to write the prompts that, you know, enable an AI tool to perform at an even better level than if you had spent 3 days on it or something like that? Like, in every field, it's going to be like, where do we come in as a prompt writer versus where do we continue doing things the way we always have, and how do we integrate those things?
Sorry, RB.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, this is huge in the copywriting space.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, is tomorrow's copywriter just better at prompts?
Yeah.
Right.
Or is tomorrow's copywriter or positioning and messaging expert that's sole job is to come up with things no one's ever said before in a way no one's ever heard it before, because it's the only way you'll be able to get noticed. So it's definitely a big conversation. A lot of my copywriter groups for the last year have been like, you know, nail bitey, or just trying to like niche or get excellent at the prompts. Props.
I'm
in Claudia's world. I'm in props, but not
props. And my thing is, I'm starting to feel more and more like possibly I need to invest in some training. I need to figure this thing out a little more so that it's not going away anytime soon. And more this is coming up. Anyways, that's just me. I feel like I need to get new skills under my belt here and understand AI more, but also learn how to do the thing, work with it.
Yeah, I've heard that if you do not understand how to use AI, it's like not understanding how to use the internet in 1994. Like the difference between your own professional acumen is going to be huge. You're in the creative space, Claudia. So like you and me are like, when are writers and musicians going to be
maybe like kind of a thing of the past? AI challenge, hey?
What are you thinking of doing with the AI website? Like, is it just because you like the domain, or are you thinking of doing a website that's about AI or uses AI?
Yeah, you know, I both, I guess I'm feeling as well as an entertainer, but also as a creator. I feel that if it's almost like an experiment for me, but it's also like diving into a masterclass. So if I get my AI domain, I want to position some things in there with like, hey, even if I screw up, hey, let's watch Claudia Santiago do whatever using AI, or you know, I might even embed some of these talks that we have in there. So yeah, I feel that I need to get that under my belt to also stay in the game, but also to be a little bit more valuable in the long run. So I know what the heck I'm doing with it.
Michael says, Roberto Blake had a great YouTube post about creators protecting their content from AI, basically going to have to put your content behind the paywall. AI can only scrape public content, apparently. Oh. The only thing about that is a lot of our content is kind of a lead magnet or a lead generator, right? Like this is the first interaction people have before they decide, hey, let's find out what these people do. Maybe I want to work with one of them. Or they see Claudia talking about, you know, being a performer, and they say, how do I hook up with her? How do I go to a show or whatever? It's like, how much of that, I guess you can have strong bios and things like that, but how much of that do you leave out in public so that you give people an ability to find your business offering?
Y'all know my greater paranoia is like, is Google Docs considered the public domain? Mm. Everything I've written in the last 5 years, from client copy to original stories to outlines to course outlines, every amount of business development I've done has been in Google Docs. Is that AI scannable?
It should.
Do you trust Google?
Rob, I wouldn't like. I look. I you guys know I put this in our little messenger group. Like, would I put it past them? No.
Well,
but like it does. You know, the last 10 years of your life where you've been like cloud, and now you're like, damn, should I have not put everything in the cloud?
I resisted all cloud.
Yeah, for pretty much the whole time that Gmail has existed, Google's been very public about the fact that it's using that information in your Gmail to create advertisements.
Sure it is.
So
and the world's most powerful database ever.
So clearly they're going to do that with Google Docs. And if you think about what they're doing with BART and that, of course they're going to tap into whatever data that they have out there to help populate this. And there is a lot of concern about whether or not, you know, there's proprietary information that could be shared in Google Docs that weren't intended to be public sourced information. So I think there is some concern there that...
Or keep the writer's strike going forever.
Right.
All you have to do is mine Google Docs, and then people who have been writing original content now are shit out of luck in every arena. Right.
And then will any of that, when Google's used to to be a source for forming social credit scores and things like that, if that ever comes to North America, will that be something where they reach into your emails and your Google Docs? And, you know, one of the things that at least search engines and such aren't very good at is understanding sarcasm and jokes and being clever and things like that. They tend to be very literal. So,
right. That's true.
You know, that humorous retort that was meant as, you know, oh, the worst case scenario, or, you know, nobody would ever do that or whatever. It goes, oh, he wrote blah, 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 blah. Okay. No access to banking for you.
Yeah, exactly. Our life is a Black Mirror episode.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to our most fun story of the day, and that is the great marketing fake out. Rebecca, set this up. Tell us what's going on here.
Yeah, aren't marketing companies so delicious? I mean, we really can get away with just being as cheeky as we want to be. So I was particularly struck this week by this story of Six City Marketing, who is championing their own ability to prank their employees and best customers by, you know, each prank being more and more outlandish than the past. So in this example, poor Margie here. Margie's an employee at Six City Marketing and she's getting married. And so to prank her, they created a fake brand that is a restaurant that only serves meatloaf and strawberry milk. And created an entire marketing campaign around this idea. They purchased the domain name, which is like what, Meatloaf Mania or something along with Margie's. They created professional graphics, and then they rented a billboard in a great location where Margie happened to be traveling for wedding-related activities. They launched a website, Facebook page, succulentmeatloaf.com actually is the URL for that. And then watch the social, which actually, Ross, is kind of the funnest part of the media, is to watch the social aspect of it. I don't know. Like, if you go back to the article, that's the original thing, and then you kind of scroll through there, you see a lot of Twitter, a lot of Twitter things, which we call tweets, apparently. Okay. Yeah. We have a lot of tweets on there about people who are like, well, I drove past this billboard. I didn't even think it was real. Strawberry milk, what? I had to double back. So they've created all of this buzz. The Facebook page that you're showing right now is a brewery who made like a, you know, a Margie's or strawberry milk stout. And then promoted that idea. So there's borrowed relevance here. The whole entire thing is blowing up and everyone's having a lot of fun with it.
I love the fact that there's reviews and merch. And
they raised like $160,000 for merchandise, which they then donated to like the local food bank in this Ohio town where the billboard is. So they are giving back with it, and I think it's really fun. Of course, the like in deconstructionist to me was like, wow, we just got so many people on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube to share a case study. Because that's all this is a case study. We're Six City Marketing. We have a strategy for getting your content to get noticed. It's by the domain name. It's make professional graphics. It's, you know, create an advertising campaign. It's buy a billboard. It's launch a website. It's look at social. Mm-hmm. And now people who never even thought they cared about marketing were really engaged in meatloaf and strawberry milk only restaurants. So I just thought like, wow, you know, you just can't get a case study in front of people these days unless you rent out a billboard and create a fake restaurant all under the guise that this is, you know, a way they prank their employees, which probably also could be true. But I just thought this was a delightful little piece of content to share here on the Stream Leader Report Live panel show every Thursday, 1:30.
Did anybody Eastern go Standard looking Time. For the actual location?
There was some confusion, and I believe there was a pop-up as well that just did a pop-up of meatloaf and strawberry milk. So I don't know if this was Margie's favorite thing or if she hated meatloaf and strawberry milk and that became the prank, but I thought it was very interesting that this marketing company delighted in their own campaign, but really got us all to read a case study and to know who Six City Marketing is. Now you all know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who they are.
What was this the website was a fun again? Story.
It's succulentmeatloaf.com.
And it's still up there?
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's probably where I got that screenshot from. It's just the actual website.
Just selling merch. Really.
There it is.
Yeah. Look at how unappealing the meatloaf is, by the way.
Oh, it looks horrible.
I feel like I'm flash forward and I'm in assisted living already. And this is what I'm saying in front of me.
Such an unlikely combination of food. Right.
Yeah. But there was unexpected, a surprise, surprise and delight. Like true elements of a viral marketing campaign is what you know and then what you didn't expect to happen in this beautiful synergy. So I'm going to go out and invent something so I can get thousands and thousands of people to hilariously share a case study.
We should That's go a good on idea. The Mecca. She secured a payday loan to lease out a building in North Court Street in Athens, Ohio. There you go. Let's go, panel.
And what did they do with it?
On the Mecca, the meatloaf Mecca. Coming soon, Margie's meatloaf Mecca.
So they even got a building. They took out a loan, got a building, and then put a coming soon sign up.
Yeah.
And it's probably a Wix website too, right?
That's hilarious.
Oh, hilarious. Wow.
Funny. Oh, marketers. Oh, yeah. We're so adorable.
So what do you think the biggest fake you've seen is so far? Like if you were to think about
the submersible?
Yeah.
Tell us how
just
you
a
really
big
feel.
Yeah, or the Chinese balloon.
Yeah, right.
The one that resonates with me always has, Ross, is remember the old diet soda Tab?
Mm.
You remember that? Well, Tab always advertised that it had one calorie. Tab actually had like 13 calories. But they made more money on the sale from just paying the false advertising fee than ever fixing it. And that to me is advertising in a nutshell is the great fake out.
Right, right. Rob?
I think I've noticed the whole deep fake phenomenon that's been happening around video. You know, I don't know if many of you have seen the Instagram videos created by this creator of a platform that does deep fakes for other companies. But he kind of looks like Tom Cruise, but then he basically superimposed Tom Cruise's real face on top of his face. And did all these videos that have gone hyper viral. I think he said that his series of Tom Cruise videos on the social platforms have garnered like 10 billion downloads or views. So it's that's the big movement around this AI technology too, is the concept of deep fakes. And it's going to be very interesting as we look to the future. What is our ability to trust what we see that's being produced in video or audio or whatever, when they're so, actually I talked to a guy yesterday who was telling me about an AI platform that basically enables you to clone your own voice with as little as 3 minutes of
the script
audio.
You can do that. You can do audio. It in the script.
Right. So you can actually clone yourself, which gives, license. I mean, like all of us are online creators, right? It would be really easy for someone to take the audio from our podcast or from our show and run it through one of these engines and be able to replicate what we did online. I think it's going to be a big issue with the presidential campaign coming up. I think there's going to be a lot of groups that are going to want to try and make candidates look bad. And so what they'll do is they'll create a deep fake and then they'll put something in there that he says or she says that's controversial. And it's going to be very difficult for us to know what's real and what's not real going forward.
You know, even if it's not a deep fake, even if you know that, like, they're upfront that it's an AI generated voice reading or saying something the person could say or might have said, I still think it gives it. It's like there was a study shown that when there's an image next to a news article, people give the news article more credibility, even if the image has nothing to do with the article. But if there's an, right. an image with the article, it seems more credible to people.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if you do, even if you, you know, like, here's what happened. I mean, DeSantis is some packer, I guess, affiliated with DeSantis, used Trump's voice in a, I don't know, a social post or an ad. Well, I bet that's still in our memories, even if it's a fake, has an imprint different than just showing images of a candidate or something else. Like, it feels like that person saying the thing. I think it can take attack ads to a whole nother level.
And yeah,
it'll be interesting to see what's allowed and what's not allowed. But I think this is going to be both the primaries and the general election where technology gets ugly. You know,
I heard someone say the other day that right now we assume that what we see is real and then have to question whether or not it's a deep fake. But in 10 years, that will be completely opposite. We'll all automatically walk in with the assumption that it is not real and you will have to prove it otherwise versus.
Yeah, I agree. And it raises a lot of question about kind of the mental positioning that we're going to have in order to really be able to navigate that. Right. And how there's going to be people out there that are going to, you know, investigate these things and that, you know, what's this whole fact checking thing. We're just seeing the very beginning of that. Right. And how that's going to impact our society. So Ross, I did create a little 360 video while we were doing the show here.
Oh, so, okay.
So I just wanted to, you know, possibly throw it up on. It's not going to have much audio in it, so
that's
it's just
right.
a matter of.
Did you get our good side?
Well,
it got actually, every side.
Claudia, every side of yeah. you is a good side.
Yeah. So here, let me try and pull it up here really quick. So can you see it now?
Yeah.
So, here, it'll move here in a second. Just you can see me moving down on the.
Yeah.
Will it silence you?
The lower part of it. No, I think you can. It'll move here in a second. I should have put kind of those marker points a little earlier in the audio.
There we go.
Here we go.
Hi, Rob.
Hey. That's so cool. We're from France.
And if you look at, yeah, it kind of scrolls around, you know, 360 degrees. Yeah, you know, yes, you can see my Rodecaster there, and then it's coming back to me again. So
nice.
And then
that's
I'm also
so
trying wow. to look at the camera on my mobile phone too, because it's on there too. But that's, and then you can back up and do this kind of like this. This kind of circle view of everything. So it's kind of interesting.
Great. Look at that.
So your mobile phone is the controller.
Well, it can control the view of the camera. So you can kind of control that, but it's capturing 360 degrees of everything.
That's got you grooving now. Right.
Yeah.
There's some audio.
Yeah. Yeah. I got some in. I actually turned on my kind of lapel mic. So yeah.
Very Great. Cool.
And you said it has a remote?
Yeah, it's your mobile phone is your kind of your remote. It actually shows it all on the
there
screen. Yeah.
Very
so that's
cool.
kind of how it works. So
very nice.
Yeah.
Well,
I love the show and tell aspect of the show.
Yeah. I know. This is such a loose, fun show today. I really
can I show
like we're hitting our groove.
Yeah.
Can I show and tell something?
Yes, please.
Do you know what this
What's
is?
That?
Wait.
Oh, it's like a sleeve. Oh, it's a glove.
It's my rock glove. I'm not going to be here next week because I am doing a rock show at a rock festival. And this is my rock glove.
It looks like an 80s heavy metal.
It is. It's an 80s, like it's a classic rock festival.
What are you going to be performing next week?
I'm performing with my rock show, Voltage 177. And we're doing a full hour of all kinds of classic rock tunes, plus some of my upcoming originals.
Nice.
Anyways, that's my show and tell.
All right. We'll miss you next week. But the show goes on. And we'll see you back the week after that. Everybody else, we will see you next week, 1:30 p.m. Eastern on Thursday for the Stream Leader Report live panel here on 100 TV. Claudia Santiago's show during the week. You can catch Viva Last Stage. Rebecca Gunter hosts Business in the Raw. Rob Greenlee hosts Trust Factor. My show is Stream Leader Report. And thanks again for joining us. Have a great day, everybody.